So what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today is most magnificent preparation for Christmas. And as Christmas is just a week away, and the church is giving us this beautiful story today. And I really pray today, what's on my mind is Christmas is a time to teach, for parents to teach children about Jesus and about the coming event of Jesus into the world. Christmas is a time, it's an adult faith, and it's the time to really examine God, who is going to send his son into the world. And the story of Jesus' birth is starting from Matthew. We're getting very close to his birthday. And the events of his birth are being told by Matthew in the first chapter. I'll begin with the 18th verse. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and Joseph said to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that she has conceived this child in her womb. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall bear a child, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did exactly as the angel had told him and commanded him, and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she had a son, and he named him Jesus. This story is so important to teach the children. Can the children understand this? They absolutely can. But first, I really believe one of the things that we must teach children is God. God, you see, God is one. God is one. And the Jews have taught that. The first ones to teach that God is one. They were the first ones who came into the world. And there were all these great nations, all these nations with many, many more people than them. They were the family of Abraham. A small nation came from Abraham, their father, the family of the Jews. They taught the world and the Bible with Moses and the law and the prophets and their writings. The 45 books of the Old Testament insist God is one. Now, when Jesus was born, he came along and he started teaching that I am God. Please teach that. Teach that we who are Christians have a different faith with regard to the oneness of God. God has he is the Father. And what does a Christian teach? When you go to Mass and you have the Creed every Sunday, it took the church almost four centuries to work out this creed. It's called the Nicene Creed. And what does the church teach? Because Jesus said, I am God. In fact, when the high priest Caiaphas, when he tore his garments, what did Jesus say? I am the Son of God. I attribute to myself. Who are you? I am. That was the name of God. Who are you? I am. I am equal to God. I am God's co-eternal Son. He ripped his garments and he said, that's blasphemy. We Christians believe it's the truth. Jesus is the Son of God, and we proclaim it every time we get together. So often when we say this creed, it's called the Nicene Creed. There's another creed, even more specifically claiming this truth. It's called the Athanasian Creed. But this is a very beautiful expression, and it takes us a minute every time we're at Sunday liturgy. When we're together, we profess, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. God is the creator of all things visible and invisible. He made the invisible world. The angelic world, the spirit world, belongs to God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. God, you see, just as in generations, when a father begets a son, in this world, humans generate. How does a spirit generate? The Father begets a son. He is the only begotten Son. That was revealed to Mary. He revealed this for the first time of his nature. I have an only begotten Son, and I want that Son to be your Son. And he goes on, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages. So there never was a time or moment that he wasn't. He is equal to God, co-eternal with God. God from God. He is God. He is equal to God. Light from light. Teach children that Jesus is God. He is light. He is consubstantial, begotten and made, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and women, and our salvation, he came down from heaven. That's what Christmas is. This God, who is the Father, has a Son who is the only begotten. And he came down to earth. And how did he come? How did he come here? And by the Holy Spirit, was incarnate in the Virgin Mary and became man. Christmas is the celebration of that. The Holy Spirit comes and overshadows Mary, and he impregnates her. Now, this story that Joseph is coming up with in today's gospel is a story that is so important. Teach that. Why was Joseph surprised? Because Mary was going to have a baby. And he knew he was not the father. And he was a righteous man. And yet he knew that this was the most pure woman that he could ever imagine meeting. Mary was holy, and she was pregnant. And he was going to divorce her, not to put her to shame. That was his conflict. When an angel came to him in a dream and told him not to be afraid, to take him into her home, and then revealing to Joseph that this child was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, which she was bearing in her womb, and to give him the name Jesus, and to take him, and not to be afraid, to take him into her house, because he, and the name Jesus means to save the people from their sins. The preparation for Christmas is Mary pregnant. Mary going to have a child. Fathers and mothers, teach your children. It is so important. One of the most broken relationships. Just yesterday, I had this father here. He and his son, 17, came. The mother and another son came. But that was a family. But what a fractured family. They were going to go to court the next day because this son had hit his father, actually hit his father. And when I sat and was listening to this story, here it is about to be Christmas. And they came, what am I supposed to do? A whole history, 17 years, I really believe, of a father and child alienated. When I sat with the boy, I said, please let me talk to him alone. And I wanted to get to what it was. He never had a relationship with his father. It wasn't just when he was starting to take marijuana and the correction came there. But I never loved my father. The existence between a father and a child, a father, a daughter, a father and a son, is love. God is God from God, light from light, love from love. Our existence is our Creator made us out of love. All things were made through Him, of Jesus. And so we are in this world. The generation that a husband and wife have, that relationship is like the Father in heaven. What a title it is, that intimacy between a father and his son, a father and a daughter. The husband-wife relationship, if there is love between the husband and the wife in the generation of the child, then the child is going to experience that. The generation, the father, the generated one who is the child, is going to feel the right from the moment it's conceived in the womb. Now, Mary is the baby Jesus' mother. Joseph is not the father. But now, how is this seen? I would like to address some of these remarks to all of us who are Christians, but principally to my Protestant brothers and sisters. We Catholics and Orthodox have a great love for Mary. And you have taught us much. I really believe maybe about renewing ourselves in the Holy Spirit. I really honestly believe, especially you Pentecostals, that the Spirit is so powerful. Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, three persons in God. And the Spirit is equal to the Father and the Son. And this is the age of the Spirit. But getting back to the relationship that Spirit had with Mary and that we have with Mary, we reverence her, we honor her, and we call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary is very honored by both Catholics and Orthodox. The first time she received that title, after she was declared Mother of God, 435, at the Council of Ephesus. She received that title, Theotokos. She is the mother of God. She's not just the mother of his human nature. She's the mother of divinity. She bore the Son of God. The Mother of God is Mary's greatest title. Not her Immaculate Conception, not her Assumption, not Queen of Heaven and Earth, but Mother of God. In that is such a powerful title. Our reverence for Mary comes from that. No human being in this world ever chose his mother. Every person who was ever born of the family of Adam and Eve that came into this world, no one ever chose his mother except God. When God looked over all of women and he wanted to save the world, and you have that love for the Savior, Jesus, he chose her specifically to be his mother. When the Son of God was going to come into the world, God wanted to have his Son take the flesh of humans that had been tainted, that had been under the power of Satan and under the power of death. And he took this one. Her name was Mary. She appears in today's gospel. She will appear in St. Luke's gospel. She is the one of whom the Word of God, which is in St. John's gospel and the story of the Incarnation, when the Word became flesh and was going to dwell among us, it was her flesh that God chose. It was through her flesh that he was given a body. His human nature, all of his nature, came from Mary. He had a human soul. He had a human body. His person was the Son of God. He had one person and two perfect natures. He was the Son of God, eternally begotten. He was the Son of Mary, begotten in time. And that time was 2014 years ago. The love and the reverence, when you think of her, reflect on her, how important it is that you begin to see her as God sees her. And we Catholics and we Orthodox would like to have you think with us, especially during this season, and teach your children. When you have the nativity set, tell them about Mary. Tell them about Joseph. Tell them about this gospel, the holy, righteous Joseph. How when he hears God, answers God's command. And how when Mary hears God, answers, be it done to me according to thy word. Perfectly in tune with the righteousness of God. Well did that woman cry in the midst of the crowd, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And then he said, yes, but more blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. She was the first one to hear the word of God and kept it perfectly. And when she heard the word of God, were it not for her response, the Son of God would not have been born. Our Savior came into the world because she heard the word of God and acted upon it. Be it done to me according to thy word. She first conceived him in her virginal heart, and then she conceived him in her virginal womb. And so as we prepare for Christmas, teach your children these very important and valuable lessons about the family, about the love, about what it is to truly be a child of God. It was listening. You know, there's a story they tell about that one of the nuns told me, it was a real story, a true story, that they were going to have a children's play. And it's a powerful way of teach the children. Teach the children about their nativity set. Teach the children about Joseph, about Mary, and about the baby Jesus. And they were preparing in this parish for Christmas. And they had all the children. One was going to be Joseph, and the other was going to be Mary, and it was a great thing to be selected, and certain ones were going to be angels. And they asked this one little boy, he was 7 years old, and he was going to be the innkeeper. And he was a stubborn little kid, and he said, "No, I'm not going to tell Joseph that there's no room in the inn. It's not going to be up to me that he's going to be born in a stable. No, I'm not going to say that line." He wasn't picked to be the other. And his father and mother kept trying to say, "Look, you're in this play. You were picked for this part. Now, when Joseph comes knocking at the door, that's what you got to tell him. You got to tell him there's no room in the inn." Well, they kept after him, and he was no, I'm not going to say it. Anyway, his sister got after him, and she said, "Do you know, all of Christmas is going to be terrible. Because Jesus is supposed to be born in the stable, and he's supposed to be laid in the manger, and because of you, it's not going to happen." Well, he thought about it. He said, "Oh," so he was going. But they were still worried, because he was kind of a stubborn kid. Well, when part of the play came that night, they were all sitting there, his family, and a knock came on the inn door. Joseph is knocking at the door and saying to the innkeeper, "I'm looking for a home for my wife. She's going to have a baby." And the innkeeper said, "There's no room in the inn, but come on in for a drink." There's no room in the inn. But how children can get into it. Children understand the story. They understand the story of Joseph. They understand the story of Mary. They understand the story of baby Jesus. Baby Jesus was born. He is our Savior. He was laid in a manger. There was no room for him in the inn. Teach the children. The children have so much to teach us. This little baby, teach him, is God. He is God's only begotten Son. Teach them that. They can get it. They don't have to be theologians, but they can really begin to teach us. They can begin to have a feeling for the baby. How do you teach a baby and a child the love of the father? By being a father. How do you teach this baby the love of Mary? By being a good mother. Mothers and fathers teaching their children. This magnificent gift that we have of Christmas, this story that's now being told in today's gospel. Jeremiah is in today's gospel, and he proclaims it. The Son of David is going to come, and he is going to be a king. That's what Jeremiah is prophesying. In today's very own gospel, he's going to be a king of righteousness. He's going to call all the people back from the lands to which they've been exiled. We have been exiled into darkness. We have that beautiful hymn to Mary, weeping and mourning in this valley of tears. We have been exiled from where? From heaven. The gates of heaven were closed, and we here on earth had been doomed to be prisoners of death, prisoners under the power of Satan, prisoners of darkness, and prisoners of sin. and Jesus is coming into the world. Our Savior is coming. He was born of the Virgin Mary and conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful and marvelous story is Christmas. And who is he? He is God from God. He is light from light. He is true God from true God. Look at all those titles. And who is he? He's a baby. He's just a little baby. What is the humility of God? Through whom everything was made, visible and invisible. And around him in the manger, and around you this Christmas, are all those angels. He is the creator of all things invisible. And all the things that are going to be around your home, visible, he made. And here he is, a baby. The humility of God. To be a baby. And did you ever just see a baby as it looks out with the brightness and beauty of its little face? Jesus is coming into the world. Right now, the story is in the Gospel of Matthew that he's in his mother's stomach and he was conceived there, Joseph finds out, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by a human, not by himself. But by God. Tell that story. Teach that story. That is the beautiful teaching that Christmas can give us. It can bring the story of life again into our world. It can bring this story of absolute truth into our world. These are deep, mystical truths, especially when we begin to teach God. God, the Trinity. You see, the Muslims say too with us, La ilaha illallah, illa Allah. There is no God but one God. And that's true. But God has a Son. And the Son and the Father are eternally in love with each other. And when they looked at the beauty of each other in all eternity, they sighed in love. And that was the Spirit. Contemplate the Trinity. We can begin in this world to know the Father as he wants to reveal himself to us through the Son. No one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. God came into this world as a baby to reveal his divine love to us. Christmas is the revelation of God's love. The infant child coming into our hearts, this preparation, he is coming anew into us. We who are Christians, I would strongly appeal to my Protestant brothers and sisters to continue your preparation. If you're listening, if you would want to really contemplate a means that we have as Catholics, I would offer you the rosary. Buy a rosary. Get a rosary. Have one of your Catholic friends show you a rosary and begin to teach you the contemplation of it. We have what we call the joyful mysteries of the rosary. You see, all of these contemplations are mysteries. What Christmas is a mystery, the mystery of divine love. But the first mystery that we contemplate, you say the Our Father and the 10 Hail Marys, but every and preparation during this time, wouldn't it be wonderful to contemplate the angel of the Lord announcing to Mary that she is to be the Mother of God, to contemplate that mystery, to be there with Mary as the angel says to her, that Mary, God has a son. Read it. It's in the Gospel of Luke. It's called the Annunciation. And he wants that son to be your son. And Mary is hesitant because it's a great thing. And she's kind of concerned because how can I, you know, if I get, no man was ever born and I have vowed my virginity. And that's why she and Joseph had that understanding. And that's why it was such a surprise to Joseph when she was pregnant. No, it will be the Holy Spirit that will come upon you. See that story, contemplate it. And contemplate it from the heart of Mary. And then her decision just to trust God. Be it done to me according to thy word. Because the angel says, nothing is impossible with God. Because your cousin in her old age has conceived a child. It's a magnificent preparation. Then she, in haste, immediately after, goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And to hear this old lady, the heart of Mary, ready to serve an old woman who's pregnant. How does she get up? Maybe with her arthritis and her old age, carrying a baby. And Elizabeth says to her cousin, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She knew this title of Mary, the mother of my Lord should come to me. Contemplate the reverence that Elizabeth has for Mary, the mother of the Lord. And the child in my womb leapt for joy at your words. Who is this magnificent woman? And then Christmas, the birth of Jesus. That's the third mystery. And then they take him and present him in the temple. And Simeon says to her, this child is like a contradiction in the world today. And he has come for the fall and the rise of many in Israel. And a sword shall pierce your heart. Yes, and it did. On Calvary. And then when she lost Joseph and Mary, lost the boy for 3 days and were looking for him and found him in the temple. What a magnificent preparation those mysteries are. Learn more deeply these mysteries. They're right there from the scripture, and they're right there in your grasp as we prepare for this magnificent feast. How much more beautiful it will be when Catholics, Protestants, and Orthodox together as Christians celebrate this magnificent feast. For it is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, is going to be begotten, the only begotten, and he's going to be in Mary, and he's going to be born. We preparing for him. It's a beautiful day. God bless.